I just tell the truth, and they think it's hell. A quote by Harry Truman. Happy Halloween 2018. I've been actually wanting to try out this costume for a while now, for a few years, and I've been putting it off, but here we are. Hope you guys like it. Get a little kick out of it. But be careful. Don't be seduced by this clever little costume, because what we have today is a very serious topic. We're going to be talking about the radical implications of oneness. And I want to tell you in particular about one very serious and rather scary implication of oneness that you probably haven't thought about before, even though you've studied non-duality and you've heard about it and you've heard me talking about it. But it's one thing to kind of dabble in non-duality. It's another thing to really start to comprehend and contemplate all the full ramifications of what non-duality means. Most people have no idea what non-duality means or what oneness means. Oneness can sound like a very fluffy, woo-woo sort of phrase. Like we can say, oh, we're all one. We're all one. It's like we're all hippies and we're all one, and it's love for everybody. And you probably have heard people talking about this before. And maybe it struck you as just some clever little poetic saying or just some wishful line of thinking, but I want you to take it a little bit more seriously than that. What if you were to take it literally? Non-duality. What does non-duality really mean? It means non-dual, as in not two, or Advaita, not two. What does not two mean? Fundamentally, it means that there's no boundary or distinction or separation between you and anything else that you might consider other than you. So literally what this means is there's no boundary between me and you. You and a tree. You and a car. You and a house. You and Adolf Hitler. That's what that means. That's a pretty radical thing. People don't think this through. I want to help you to think through the full ramifications of this, because this is very eye-opening and this can really change your entire orientation towards life. Because the way that most people live life and the way that you're living life, even if you have heard about non-duality, even if you agree that there is such a thing called enlightenment, even if you had a little mystical experience here or there, you still fundamentally live from a dualistic orientation of you over here and everything else, the rest of the world somewhere out there, the bad guys out there, the evil ones out there, all the demons that you create are somehow out there and separate from you. That's how most people live and how they think. In fact, their entire thinking process is fundamentally permeated by this assumption that there just is this thing of like me over here and others over there. The bad guys are out there somewhere. And that's because we, from our culture, just pick up this attitude that there are these separate individual selves, like myself over here and yourself over there, and that there are therefore multiple subjects within the universe who are looking at the universe. And some of these subjects, they're the good guys. They're the kind people, the loving people. And some of these guys, they're the evil ones, the psychopaths, the crazy ones, the terrorists, the murderers, the corrupt dictators, and this sorts of stuff. But that's all duality. Non-duality means that there's only one subject in the whole universe. What that literally means is that the thing that is looking through my eyes right now, the thing within me that is conscious of this room that I'm standing in, is precisely the same thing within you, which is conscious of the room that you're sitting in. What is that thing? What is that subject? Well, that's the transcendental I. That's the ultimate I am-ness, of which we talk about when we talk about spiritual truths, and when we talk about the ultimate self, the absolute self. that subject. It's pure subjectivity. It's not a thing per se. There's not a thing inside of you that's looking through your eyes and experiencing everything. Actually, what's inside of you is a void. It's nothingness. So how could it be that the thing inside of me is the same thing as that's inside of you? Because it's nothingness. It's void. The void, that primordial void of consciousness that has always existed, that's eternal, that's ever present, that existed before the Big Bang and will exist long after the entire universe is destroyed. That is the ultimate absolute subject, which is experiencing the entire universe in all of its infinite forms, of which right now, your current lifetime, your current incarnation is one. See? You have to be careful, though, to distinguish between this universal absolute I am-ness, the self with a capital S, and the self with a lowercase s, or the ego. The ego is who you think you are when I point to you. The ego is the self-image you have. The ego is the ownership you have or you feel that you have over your life. So if I ask you, whose life is that? That's happening right there. You'll say, well, mine, of course. That's ego. That's the lowercase s self. So, of course, your ego is not the same as my ego, but the thing that's aware of the ego, the thing that transcends the ego, the thing that was there before the ego, that thing is the same in me as it is in you. They're literally identical. That literally means that I am you. Not in a metaphorical sense, literally so. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why you're you and why you're not me? Or why you weren't born as some starving, hungry kid in Africa? Or why you weren't born Napoleon or a billionaire or a U.S. president? Why are you living that life right now? Have you ever wondered this? Very interesting philosophical question. Sometimes I get the sense that people might speculate about this question, but they do it purely in a philosophical sort of way. They don't really take it seriously. They never seriously consider that there could be a real answer to this question. And the answer is really simple. You are you, and you are also me, and you are also everybody else. But you have to understand what that really means. What does it mean for you to be you? For you to be you means that you're living that life right there and you're experiencing every single word that I'm saying right now and you're conscious of it. And that you had your particular life history. You were born in a particular city to particular parents and went to a particular school and got a particular job and married a particular spouse and all of this that you consider your life, that you have memories of. That's what you consider you. That's the small self. So why are you experiencing that and not my life? Why weren't you born in my city? Why weren't you at my school? Why aren't you running actualize.org and creating these episodes? Why aren't you looking through the camera right now the way that I am? Well, you are. You understand? You are. But for you to be me, you have to actually become me, which means you have to stop being you. You get this? You get how this works? You are literally me, and what I'm experiencing right now is you experiencing me. Now, the mistake people here make is they think that, well, Leo, if it was true what you're saying, that I am you, that means I should be able to look through your eyes right now and have all of your personal experiences and memories. No. Be very careful here. If you had access to all of my personal memories and experiences, that means you wouldn't be me, nor would you be you. You would be some third kind of hybrid creature, which is a synthesis of your and my individual egoic experiences. That would be some sort of third thing. You would be that thing then. You wouldn't be me. To be me means that you're fully me. That means when you become me, you no longer have memories of having been yourself, for example. So it's not like you can be in my body and in my mind and still retain your memories of being you and having gone to your school and to your family and all the stuff that you did in your life. You're not going to have access to that. What it means to be me is that I don't have access to those things. That's what I am. And what it means for you to be you is that I can't access you. You see, this is a virtual partition within consciousness. That's what it is. So when you understand this, what you understand is that literally you are me right now. One day in the entire, let's say, history of the cosmos, you will experience what it's like to start actualize.org and to shoot hundreds of videos and all the joy and tribulation and suffering that I go through creating all this content, thinking all this stuff up. And one day you will be standing here right where I'm standing, speaking to this camera, saying the exact words that I'm saying right now. Having exactly my experiences. In fact, it's happening right now. That's what's happening right now. The only problem is that you're probably not conscious of it because you're so glued to being you. And your ideas of being me are that it's like you still stay you, but then somehow you're also able to access my experiences. That's some sort of third thing. Now you might say, Leo, well, could I be that thing then too? Is there going to be a situation in the universe, in the history of the universe, where I'm going to experience you and both and me as this hybrid thing? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I guess it's possible. See? But you have to understand what this you really entails, what your life really entails. It's partitioned. Consciousness partitions itself for the benefit of you, right? Because look, if you had the access to the memories of every single human that has ever lived, you wouldn't be able to live a productive life. You wouldn't actually be able to be you. You wouldn't be able to individuate yourself because you would be lost in a sea of memories of stuff that has happened to people billions of times throughout human history, right? Your mind would be so inundated, you would literally go insane from all of this. It would be too much, and it wouldn't be conducive to you living your individual life. So there's utility in partitioning consciousness, because that's how you create a sort of individuality. But you have to remember that this individuality that you have been experiencing for the duration of this lifetime, it's a pseudo individuality. It's not real. It's a virtual partition. It's not an objective partition. It's a subjective partition. And there's nothing fundamental about it in the way that many materialists think. They think that they're this individuated creature within reality. No such thing. One of the most radical implications of non-duality is precisely what I'm saying here. And it is that you will experience everything by the time your time is up. Everything. Everything. Try to understand just how profound this statement is, that you will experience everything. Now, by you, what do I mean? Do I mean the ego? No, the ego will die. The ego will not experience everything. The ego is one experience within everything. So, of course, one experience within everything can't experience everything. But you as the capital S self, you as the I am, you as the Godhead, the subjective light of awareness that is shining through you right now, that is being conscious of the words that I'm speaking, that you, the enlightened self, that will experience everything. Everything, without exception. It will experience an infinity of experiences and forms. In fact, it already has. I'm speaking here as though we're talking about linear time. And you might get the sense that, well, if I die, then there's going to be another lifetime and another lifetime after that. It's going to be this linear sequence. It's going to take billions of years to experience everything. Yeah, you can think of it that way because we have to, as we're talking about this, we have to put it into linear time because that's how the human mind and human operating system works. Just, we only understand cause and effect through linear time under ordinary conventional states of consciousness. But that's not really what's going on. Really what's going on is it's all being experienced simultaneously. As though you took a pencil and you made a little dot on a big piece of paper, on a white piece of paper, you made a dot. And in this dot is contained every single experience that can ever possibly be experienced. And it all happened in the blink of an eye at once. Of course, within that little dot is contained a bunch of linear timelines, independent linear timelines, which seem to expand and unfold across time. So a really good metaphor for understanding this is, think of it this way. Imagine a film reel that contains every single film that has ever been recorded in Hollywood throughout all of human history. Imagine we took every film reel and we spliced them together into one long, supermassive, ultra-comprehensive film reel. And not only will this film reel contain every film ever shot, but also every film that could ever be shot in the future. It contains the possibility space of all film ever, such that on this reel is contained everything that you could ever possibly do within film. It contains every possible way that Star Wars could have been shot by George Lucas. It contains every possible way that any movie you've ever seen could have been shot, every single angle it could have been shot in, every single actor that could have been in the movie, every single different word of dialogue that could have been substituted by some writer, every single different plot twist that could have been invented. See, this is an infinite, we're talking about an infinite film reel. There's an infinite amount of possibilities just for one movie. There's an infinite number of ways, for example, to have shot Star Wars. An infinite number of actors you could have substituted for the ones that we know, and an infinite number of dialogue choices and subplots and so forth. So that's just Star Wars, but now take every possible movie that could ever be invented. So now we have this infinite reel. So this is very interesting. You see, now this reel contains everything that could possibly be. And that's like reality. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take this reel and we're going to play it on a projector. And what this projector is fundamentally is just light. It's shining light through each individual frame of this infinite reel. It goes on forever to infinity. That's how long it is. So the light is shining through this particular frame right here. And maybe this frame here is one particular frame of one of the Star Wars episodes. And it's shining through and now you get to see that frame. And that is like what's happening right now. That's what I'm experiencing right now as I'm standing here. That's what you're experiencing right there as you're sitting there watching this video. Is you're experiencing one of those frames. And what your life is, your entire lifetime up from when you were born till today, what that has been is it has been one chunk of this infinite reel that has been playing, which is just like one movie. But there's like an infinite number of movies. See? And so you're playing through it, and it looks linear. It appears as though it's happening one at a time. But also what you can do is you can take sort of a higher level perspective, a meta perspective, so kind of zoom out. And what you'll see is that the infinite reel just exists as one solid entity, which contains everything. It's like one singularity. It is that dot that you made with the pencil on a piece of paper. You see, in it already is contained all the timelines, all the possibilities, everything. It's all right there. And then you realize, oh yeah, I am that entire film reel. I'm going to play through that thing an infinite number of times over and over and over again. I'm going to go through every single iteration that's possible. I'm going to experience everything that could ever possibly be experienced. That's what we mean by everything. And in this case, what is the thing that's doing the experiencing of the film reel? It simply is the light. There's not actually a projector, a physical mechanical projector, which is a separate object from the film reel. Because again, we're saying this, everything is non-dual, right? So a dualist would think, well, there's the projector, which is like the self, the ultimate self, and then there's the film reel. It's not quite right, because again, that would require a boundary or a division between the two. So with non-duality, what we mean is that all divisions and all boundaries collapse, such that there's not even a division anymore between the projector and the film reel itself. So imagine that the film reel is the projector. Or another way you can think of it is that pure light is shining through the frame and illuminating the frame. And in fact, the frame just is the pure light. You see? And that pure light, that's what we mean by the enlightened self, or the absolute self, or the ultimate I am-ness. That thing. And notice, you know, light is an intangible. Light is what? Another word for light is spirit. Or consciousness. Or awareness. And so that's the case. But even as I explain all this, do you still... realize the full implications of what I'm saying? Let's make it very explicit. I want you to imagine that you will experience what it's like to be a woman gang raped. You will experience what it's like to be tortured in the Spanish Inquisition. You will be gassed in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. You will be burned at the stake as a witch. You will be accidentally buried alive. You will starve to death in a famine. You will rot to death from the Black Plague. You will be born into the lowest caste of the Indian caste system. You will be crucified on a cross. You will be mowed down by a machine gun in World War I. You will be molested as a child. You will die in an airplane crash, and you will know what it feels like those last few seconds before the airplane crashes into the ground. You will know the terror of what that feels like, to know that that's about to happen. You will get crushed in a car accident. You will be a southern plantation slave forced to pick cotton, who will be tortured and whipped and beaten. You will be a black man lynched by the KKK. You will be a mother who bleeds to death giving birth. You will be a young fetus who gets aborted. You will be a child incinerated by the atomic blast at Hiroshima. You will be a young child abandoned by her parents and left to fend for yourself, and you will know what it's like to grow up without a mother and a father who loved you. You will be a family of civilians bombed by a U.S. drone strike in the Middle East, killed for no good reason. You will be a depressed teenager who shoots himself in the mouth or slits his wrists. You will be a child shot in a school massacre. You will overdose as a heroin junkie on the streets. You will be shot in a firing squad. You will be born as the ugliest person in the world, and you will know what that feels like and what that does to your self-esteem. You will die a virgin. You will lose your spouse to some horrible cancer. One day, after years and years of searching for your perfect spouse, you find him or her, and you finally get married, and everything is going great. And the next year, they're going to get this horrible cancer, and they're going to die. And you're going to know what that feels like very intimately. You will be crippled, you will be disabled, you will be disfigured in every possible way that you could. You will be born clinically retarded. Your child will die in a skateboarding accident. Your child will drown in a pool. And you will know what that feels like. You will die of AIDS. You will be born gay. You will be born transgender. You will be born a minority. You will be born into a ghetto. You will be born a refugee. You will be born in North Korea. You will be a sex slave. And you will know what that feels like to have strangers use your body as a sex toy, with no power to escape that situation. You will be born into a Mormon polygamous cult, and you will know what that feels like. You will work in an African diamond mine, maybe worked to death. You will work in a sweatshop for $1 a day, 14 hours a day, just to make ends meet. You will be knocked up by some asshole who then leaves you with your child, left to raise your child all by yourself. You'll know what that feels like. You will be locked up in an insane asylum for your mental disorder. You will get Alzheimer's and dementia. You will get a lethal dose of nuclear radiation in Chernobyl. You will be beheaded in a guillotine in the French Revolution. You will get your life savings swindled by some con artist or in some pyramid scheme. You will die all alone, and you will know what that feels like. You will be born into an abusive family where your father rapes and molests you. You will be 300 pounds overweight, and you will know what that feels like. You will die in a hurricane. You will go bankrupt for medical bills. You will be wrongfully accused and incarcerated for tens of years. You will go bald. You will lose your teeth. You will know what it feels like to have a tiny penis. You will know what it feels like to have small breasts and what that does to your self-esteem and how other people judge you for it. You will be an unarmed black man shot by the police. You will be executed as a political prisoner. You will die of thirst lost in the desert. You will die of a rattlesnake bite. You will freeze to death in a snowstorm on Mount Everest. You will be a cat or a dog euthanized at the pound. You will be an antelope in the jaws of a crocodile or a lion. You will be a cow slaughtered in a factory farm. You will be a suckling pig served up on a spit at a barbecue. Your furry hide will be turned into a designer mink coat. You will be fished and butchered for sushi. You will be hunted for sport. And your head will be hung as a trophy on some sportsman's mantle. You will be mauled by a grizzly bear. You will get your leg bitten off by a shark. You will experience every breakup that has ever been experienced by any human being. Every divorce, every insult, every cheat, every lie, every act of violence, every disease, every death of a loved one, every legal injustice, every betrayal, every mental disorder, every physical disability, every criminal punishment that man has ever endured, every abuse of every animal that man has ever inflicted, every act of torture, horror and pain beyond anything you could possibly imagine or dream up, and everything that you hate, you will become. That's what non-duality means. But that's not all. It gets even stranger. This is only half the story. Not only will you be every victim, you will also be every perpetrator. Which means you will be Hitler issuing the orders to build the concentration camps. That will be you. You will be the Roman senator stabbing Julius Caesar. You will be the child rapist. You will be the henchman nailing Christ to the cross. You will be the German soldier operating the machine gun. You will be the pilot responsible for crashing the airplane. You will be the Islamic terrorist. You will be the racist KKK leader who's leading the lynch mob. You will be the man in the gang rape. You will be the brutal tyrant suppressing his people. You will be the greedy CEO. You will be the alcoholic husband beating his wife. You will be the Catholic priest molesting dozens of children, and you will be the archbishop doing the cover-up. You will be the pilot who dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And you will be the U.S. officials who ordered it. You will be the Spanish Inquisitor operating the torture device. You will be the operator of the guillotine in the French Revolution. You will be the gunman in the school massacre. You will be the boss running the sweatshop. You will be the lawyer defending the corporation that's polluting the waters. You will be the con artist who's swindling his mark or building his pyramid scheme. You will be the spouse who divorces just to get all the money. You will be every perpetrator of evil that has ever existed. That's what non-duality really means. No, Leo, this is impossible. This is crazy. You've lost it. You've gone off the deep end. You're just wrong. There's no way this could be true. Leo, you're misinterpreting non-duality. This is not what non-duality says. This is not what the Buddhist scriptures tell us. This is not what Eckhart Tolle says about non-duality. Think it through for yourself, though. What does it really mean to say that reality is non-dual? Just what do you think oneness means? If it doesn't mean this. You see, it's just that the magnitude of oneness hasn't really hit you yet. It hasn't sunk in. For you, oneness is still just an intellectual exercise, some philosophical theory or something like this. Or even if you've had a glimpse here or there of some version of non-duality, it's still the depth of it hasn't fully hit you yet. And now you start to realize why the truth with a capital T, is so rare, and why it isn't possible for this truth to be mainstream. See? And you also see why there's so much controversy and misunderstanding about what God is. Because what I'm describing here is I'm describing God. God is everything. Everything. Everything with no exceptions. Everything you learned in history, everything you saw in the movies, everything you've ever experienced, and every experience that you've ever heard from other people, God is all of that and an infinite more. See, with no exceptions whatsoever. God is that infinite film reel sitting on a shelf. And what you're experiencing right this second is one frame of that infinite film reel. Here we are. Now you might be wondering, Leo, but why am I not experiencing the whole thing? If what you're saying is true, I should be experiencing the whole thing. But then who's going to experience the individual frames? Who's going to experience your life? You see, for God to be able to experience the entire freaking film reel, he has to go through it one frame at a time at some point. For God to know what it's like to be you, he has to literally live your life, which is what he's doing right now. I mean, not he, it. You are it. This God is not separate from you, of course. You're it. You're living through it right now. That's what you're doing. So the reason you're you is because someone has to be you. Who else is going to take your shoes? Who else is going to look through your eyes? There's only one subject to look through your eyes. There's only one subject to look through my eyes. There's only one subject. There's only one light, only one projector to project through all of these frames. Could you imagine telling this to a Jewish Holocaust survivor, telling him that he will literally be Hitler? Could you imagine telling a rape victim that she will literally be her own rapist? Can you imagine telling an evangelical Christian that he was literally the one who nailed Christ to the cross? Can you imagine telling a conservative that he will be one of the 9/11 hijackers, or an illegal alien from Mexico, or a communist? Can you imagine accepting for yourself that you will literally be that corrupt politician that you despise the most? Which politician do you despise? Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, somebody else? Well, what if you're them? Can you imagine telling a Greenpeace liberal that he will be a corporate tycoon funding the military-industrial complex? Can you imagine telling a corporate CEO that he will poison his own child with his pursuit of maximum profits and the pollution that that creates? Can you imagine convincing someone, for example, like Jordan Peterson, that he will be Lenin, Mao, Stalin, a social justice warrior, a feminist, a transgender student? How do you think that conversation would go? You think he would like that? You think he would agree with that? Can you imagine telling Sam Harris that he will be a fundamentalist evangelical or an Islamic terrorist? How do you think that conversation will go? You think he's going to accept that? You think he's going to agree with me? You think anyone's going to agree with me? Can you imagine telling any of these people that this is what God is, that this is what goodness is, that this is what beauty is, that this is what love is, that this is what truth is, that this is the ultimate truth? You think they're going to object? You think they're going to have some excuses? You think they're going to have some rationalizations for why I'm wrong? See, the ego cannot handle this truth because the ultimate truth is just too much. It's way too much. It's way too much. The magnitude of it just is utterly staggering. Staggering beyond your wildest imagination of what reality could be when you realize this. It's way too radical. It's outrageous. It's utterly politically incorrect. It's terrifying. It will terrify you. It'll scare the shit out of you. The question is, can you handle that? Can you handle the truth? Are you open enough for this truth to reveal itself to you? Most people aren't. See, most people are way too self-righteous, and that self-righteousness is precisely what stands in the way of realizing the truth of non-duality. And the ultimate answer to the question of how come existence? Why existence? Why is there something rather than nothing? The answer is there. It is accessible. I've accessed it. Other people have accessed it, but it requires an enormous degree of open-mindedness and a willingness to surrender your self-righteousness and a willingness to dissolve all of your boundaries to experience this truth. You understand that to experience the entire real all at once requires that you surrender your attachment to the particular frames that you're attached to within that real, which means that you need to be able to surrender your life, your birth, and your sense of death, and all of your memories, and all of your attachments to who you think you are. You have to surrender all of that if you want to access the entire real. That's what it means to access the entire real. You access everything at once. You can't just stay who you were and access the real. That wouldn't be accessing the real. So what I mean by your self-righteousness standing in the way is, of course, that all of your hatred, all of your judgment, and all of your demonization, that all of this you will have to recognize as being a lie, as being a smokescreen that was erected by your ego that prevents you from realizing this truth. So the reason I gave you a list of all those people who I wanted you to imagine to explain this truth to, who would never accept it, why wouldn't they accept it? It's precisely because they're so attached to their hatred, their judgment, their criticism, and their demonization. And they've made careers and entire identities, and their entire lives have been turned into this process of judging the other. And they are therefore fundamentally committed to the dualistic orientation towards life. What they're doing really is they're denying their full identity as God or as everything or as infinity. And that's what you've been doing your whole life. Every single time you've hated, judged, demonized, or criticized anybody, really what you've been doing is you've been denying your own self. Because your true identity is not that thing that you think you were born as. It's not the family you grew up with. It's not your nation. It's not your race. It's not your ethnicity. It's not whether you're rational or irrational. It's not what religion you believe. It's not whether you're an atheist or whoever else. It's not even whether you're human. It is everything. Literally everything. Infinity. But you see, this is so much. It's too much. It's too much for you. What you want is you want something small and comfortable, something manageable. You want to just be you, your memories, your little life, your little cushy position that you've constructed for yourself in your life. You see, your identity. That's what you spent your entire life developing, is your particular identity. Whether it's a religious identity, a political identity, a scientific identity, or anything else like that. See, you've been denying your own oneness this whole time. That's the challenge of reality. That's the ultimate existential challenge, is to realize and understand your fullness and to accept it and not to deny it. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. That is God's entire agenda. You might wonder, why did God create all this? What's the point? The point is that it's not that God created a bunch of stuff. Don't think of it that way. Think of it instead like this. Imagine that there was a moment in time, and this isn't quite right because, of course, God is outside of time, but let's just go with it as a metaphor, that there was a moment in time where God was sort of born. Somehow he was born, let's say, and there he was. And now most people imagine, okay, he started just creating stuff. And of course, he knew he was God and he knew what he was capable of, so he just starts creating a bunch of stuff. But it's not so simple, you see. Before God can get to that, God has to ask himself, wait a minute, how did I get here? Why did I come into existence? Where did I come from and what am I? You see, there's a moment where God doesn't really know yet what he is. Because it's like God's not just born with self-knowledge. God needs to go through a process to arrive at self-knowledge. And this process is what we call life. That's what's happening right now, right this second. That's what's happening every second ever of everybody's life. Is it's God looking through itself, exploring itself, experiencing itself, in order to realize what it is. God doesn't know what it is until it's lived through every possible experience and incarnation of consciousness to realize what it means to be God. You see? And since God is infinite, there's an infinite number of forms, it's forever experiencing itself through every possible incarnation. It's running through every single film reel. It has to do that to realize what it really means to be God. To realize infinity. The body of God, so to speak, is literally made up of this present experience that's happening to me right now, and this present experience that's happening to you right now, and every other experience that has ever happened to any living creature. All of that makes up the body of God. That's what God is. It's this infinite singularity. See? But it doesn't really know itself. To know itself, it has to go through this experience to see the consequences of what it means to be infinite. It's one thing to just say, oh yeah, I'm infinite, or just to say, oh yeah, God's infinite. It's another thing to actually go through every possible experience of what it means to be infinite. What it means to be infinite is that you're an ant crawling on a piece of wood in the forest, or you're a bear shitting in the woods, or you're a dragonfly flying through some pond, or you're a human being going through a breakup. Or you're a Nazi killing Jews, or you're some corrupt politician scheming a way to steal a bunch of money from the government, or something like this, right? It's every possible thing that could ever be experienced. That's what infinity means. And of course, for God, there's a really tricky issue here, which is that infinity is so big. And the consequences of it are so astounding and marvelous and stupendous and horrifying that God needs to not only be able to go through every iteration to see what it really is, it also needs to understand, it needs to accept what it is. And that's what this episode is about today. It's about helping you to accept what you really are. Because you see, when most people think of God, what they think of is they think of rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and pretty things and nice things and love and goodness and all of this. They don't think about the selfishness and the evil. They hold this as separate from God, again, creating a duality. But of course, with non-duality, we have to fold that in to this concept of God, because God is oneness, it's one thing. You can't separate anything from it. So the most challenging thing with non-duality is to realize that you're everything, including all the ugliness and all the stuff that you hate. So as God is going through this film reel and it's looking through every single, imagine, like, for example, if you were sitting there in a movie theater looking through an infinitely long film reel, every single movie that could be. Well, you're going to see some wonderful, beautiful movies, some romantic comedies and children's movies and fairy tales and this and that with happy endings. And that's going to be great. You're going to be happy. But then what happens when you see all the horror movies, all the slasher films, all the snuff films, all the violence, all the video of all the wars that have ever happened in human history, right? You're looking through all of this. You're looking through every single rape. You're looking through as though it was filmed on a camera. You're looking through every single act of genocide and terrorism and torture and evil and corruption and greed and all of this. You're looking through all of it. How do you think you're going to feel when you're looking at that? Are you going to be man enough, so to speak, to accept that as yourself? That's the greatest challenge for God, is to fully accept itself as what it is, and not to deny, not to create smoke screens and excuses and rationalizations and all of this. Most people would be way too offended to entertain these ideas that I'm talking about here. Spiral Dynamic Stage Blue moralists will think that oneness that I'm explaining here is actually devilry. Because Stage Blue moralism is all about splitting off and creating a duality between good and evil, which is what someone like Jordan Peterson does. And which is why he's stuck with that. And he can't evolve forward. And Spiral Dynamic Stage Orange, the materialists and the rationalists, they think oneness is just some wishful woo-woo New Age metaphor. And that it can't possibly be real because reality is material and physical. And Leo, the things you're describing here are utterly impossible. But get beyond all of that. And what I'm talking about here is not just entertaining this as an idea or as a philosophy or as a belief. I'm actually talking about realizing that you are God, realizing that this is your true nature. You are everything, absolutely everything. And that this is the ultimate purpose of spirituality, is to realize this awesome truth and to accept it. See, the problem is that you're way too weak to accept it. You have to surrender yourself to accept it. It's not like you can just sit back on a couch and understand what God is in some abstract philosophical way. You need to put some skin in the game. You see, this is a hands-on activity. You literally are God living through your life right now. And so far, your entire life has just been this cloistered little existence. And you've been fighting so hard to create this little cloistered nest for yourself. What do I mean by this cloistered nest? I mean everything you struggle to work for every single day. The money, the love, the sex, the approval, the fame that you want, all the comfortable aspects of life, you know, the nice cushy house, the nice car, and the good comfortable clothing and the bed and all of this. You're constructing this little bubble for yourself to avoid experiencing the fullness of what you are. Because it's so radical. See, you only want to cherry pick the full spectrum of possible experiences to get the best ones. The ones that are the pretty, the happy, the sappy, the sugary ones. And you want to say, oh yeah, I am this stuff here. But then you want to deny and reject all of this. You want to deny and reject all the murder and violence and theft and evil that happens in the world. You want to deny and have nothing to do with that. So you create this duality between the two. And then you spend all your time from this little nest that you've built for yourself, this little position of privilege and luxury. You get to sit up here and criticize all the people over here. All the people who were born into abusive families, all the rapists of the world, all the murderers, all the dictators, all of them. You get to criticize all of them from your little comfortable position because you've managed to delude yourself into thinking that somehow you're separate from them and that you will never be this way and that you could never be this way. And then you will say things to yourself like, oh, Leo, I could never be a rapist. I could never be a murderer. I could never be a dictator. I would never do that. I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, in this incarnation, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. In this incarnation, because you were born to good parents, in a good country, in a good environment, you went to good schools, and you had money, and you had all of this, and you had a good mental health. You weren't born disabled. You weren't born crippled. You didn't go through all the suffering that all these other people had to go through that made their life so miserable that now they spread misery all across the world, which you judge and hate. But one day you'll know what that feels like. You'll know exactly what it feels like to be one of those people that are on this end of the spectrum, the selfish, evil end of the spectrum. You'll know what it's like to be addicted. You'll know what it's like to be caught in a cycle of poverty or criminality or violence or anything else like this. You see, God's mission, so to speak, God's ultimate purpose, if God is trying to understand what it is to run through every possible experience, the full spectrum, without judgment. No matter how horrifying it may seem. And you might say, well, Leo, but why would God want to torture and suffer this way? No. You don't understand. If you think that way, you're thinking from the position of the ego. God doesn't judge. God wants to run through every possible experience in the same way that when you're sitting in a movie theater and you're looking at a film, you enjoy some good violence. You enjoy some good rape on the movie screen. You enjoy some child abuse on the movie screen. You enjoy some horror movie where there's some fucking monster chasing some person down and mauling them and eating them piece by piece. You enjoy watching cannibal movies. Horror movies are one of the most popular forms of movie. You enjoy them. You go to them all the time. But of course, that's because you've got this safe buffer, this distance, that screen between fiction and reality. You've got that duality. But you see, when you're actually inside the movie, oh, now, and you've got an ego, oh, and you want to cling to some particular identity, this little comfortable identity that you've constructed for yourself as a good moral person that's above all the others, well, all of a sudden, that fantasy of yours now comes into contact with reality. And now that's a problem. You can no longer maintain that duality. And see, so God is trying to experience everything because it needs to experience everything to realize its full oneness. If it says, no, I don't want to experience torture and rape and all that bad stuff, then that means it doesn't get to understand what it really is. It only sees half of itself. It denies the other half. And this leads to all sorts of pathologies. And this now brings us to the ultimate purpose of life. And this brings us to the ultimate origin of love, compassion, and goodness. Now you might think, well, Leo, what does this possibly have to do with love and compassion and goodness? It seems like you're describing hell to me. There's no love here. If God was truly loving, he would eliminate all this evil stuff so we don't have to suffer. But again, you're speaking from a position of duality. You're speaking as if you're not God, which you are. You're speaking as though you're separate from the creation. God is not separate from its creation. It is the creation. So how does love play into all of this? To truly learn to love, you must learn to love unconditionally. You must learn to accept everything. You must learn to love yourself in your entirety. It's very easy to love this stuff on this end of the spectrum. The good, easy, fluffy stuff, the sugary stuff. It's very easy to love that. What's really difficult to love is the full truth. This is not the full truth. The full truth is this entire spectrum. That's your job, is to learn how to love that. If you can love this, you've learned how to love yourself, and you have, in a sense, completed the entire objective of God. How can you have compassion when you haven't really suffered? When you haven't experienced torture and rape and murder and genocide and theft and corruption and all, how can you possibly love? How can you have compassion for anybody? When all you do is live in your little cloistered, comfortable existence that you have constructed for yourself, that you defend every single day for fear of what it would mean if that gets destroyed and now your experience spills over into this end of the spectrum. How can you have compassion for these people over here when you think that you're separate from them and that all of this stuff here is wrong and bad? You can't. Compassion and love comes from exposure to the most brutal experiences, the most difficult experiences. This is what makes life so challenging and so worthwhile. This is the ingeniousness of the design of life. Like I said in my What is Love episode, I called life a love simulator. And maybe you didn't quite appreciate what that meant. Well, let's explain it here again. Why do we call life a love simulator? Because your job is to realize what you are as God and to accept and love yourself unconditionally in your full entirety. And that is the most difficult thing for you to do as an ego. In fact, what it requires is the ultimate sacrifice. It is impossible to accomplish this mission without completely surrendering yourself. Which means death. So you see, the purpose of life is to go full circle. From life to death. And it's only after you face your own death completely, and you have nothing anymore that you cling to as an identity, and there is no more separate self, that at that point you have become literally infinite. And you love everything now. Because there's nothing that you need to protect within yourself. You don't need to protect your body, your mind, your ideas, your religion, your politics, nothing. And you hate nothing. And you judge nothing. Because you understand that all of it is you. And you understand the goodness of it all. The absolute goodness of it all. Absolute goodness includes the full spectrum. Not just the positive side, but also the quote-unquote negative side. Includes it all. You've integrated it all. You've become such a large being that you have literally transcended your humanity into godhood. Buddhahood. And at that point, you have realized the purpose of life. You've embraced everything. You are conscious of yourself fully. Ta-da. That's what you're here for. That's what you were born for. You might think you were here to make money and to have sex and to play video games and to do all this stuff. No. All of that is just stuff within the love simulator. Your real job here, if you want to be excellent at life, your real job is to complete the love simulator. You know, you don't need to be in a simulator if you're an ace pilot. You put amateur pilots in the simulator and you make them simulate all sorts of difficult scenarios so that they get better and better and better, and eventually they become an ace pilot, at which point they leave the simulator. They don't need the simulator anymore. So that's your situation. So the reason you're struggling in life, the reason it's so difficult, is because you don't know how to love, and the reason you don't know how to love is because you're selfish, and the reason you're selfish is just because that's what you needed to be to survive to get to this point. And now you need to start to let go of more and more of your selfishness and embody more and more love unconditionally until you're dead and you love even that. And then you go beyond that. And at that point, you become so conscious that you don't even need reality anymore. You don't need the simulator anymore. You could die and not exist. And you're perfectly happy with that. That's fine by you because you've already seen absolutely everything there is to see. You've completed life. You finished the movie. You finished the game. The entire universe is infinitely reincarnating. It's playing through all of these experiences as one entity in order to get to know itself. To know itself, it must be itself. Again, the duality between knowledge and being must also collapse when we're talking about non-duality. As a materialist, you might wonder, Leo, how is this possible? How is any of this physically possible? Because like I've said before, the universe is not a mechanical, physical object. It's a giant mind. It's an infinite mind. And it can dream up and hallucinate whatever it wants. And so what we're exploring here is not physicality. We're exploring infinite hallucination. And there's only one subject, one giant mind, one subject, but an infinite amount of dreams and hallucinations within it, subdividing itself to infinity forever and ever and ever. And you are that entire thing. And also right now, you are identified with being one little subdivision of that giant thing. Of course, don't expect to remember all of the various incarnations, iterations that you went through. Because what it means to be you is that you have your memories. That's what it means to be separate and individualized, a subpartition. See? And when your brain gets damaged and your body dies, then the memory basically gets wiped clean. If you doubt that something like this is possible, there's a class of psychedelics that you can take which will actually make you forget that you took a psychedelic. These are not ordinary psychedelics. This is not like LSD or mushrooms or DMT or 5-MeO. This is something a little bit more sinister and scary. This is truly the stuff of nightmares. This is the stuff of insane asylums. You take one of these psychedelics, like salvia or datura, for example. And when this thing kicks in, you have no memory that you took this psychedelic. You have no memory of who you were as a human being before that. All of that is wiped away. You are immersed in a totally new reality that feels completely lifelike, and it's just pure hallucination. That means you can, for example, have a conversation with your parent or your spouse on this psychedelic, and you're having this conversation for 30 minutes, and you're debating with them something important. You're talking and talking and talking, and then 30 minutes later, you realize that was just a hallucination. It never even happened, and it felt completely real. You might open your window, look through your window on the grassy lawn, and you might see a helicopter landing on the grassy lawn, and you'll hear the sound, you'll feel the wind from it all kicking you in the face, and maybe you'll see some police running out of the helicopter, running towards you, and then you realize, when they get to you, none of that ever happened. It was just a hallucination. And while you're hallucinating that, you won't even know that you're hallucinating. It will just feel completely real. And the reason that's possible is precisely because there is no difference between reality and hallucination. What you're experiencing right now is a persistent hallucination. And one day it will end, and that will be that, and your entire life will be gone in the blink of an eye as though it was just a movie. I don't, by the way, recommend that you try these psychedelics. They can be quite dangerous, both physically and psychologically. But, you know, for those of you who are skeptics in the audience, you need to be aware that this stuff exists. I'm not making this shit up. This is factual. You know, if you want, you can go try one of these and you'll see what we're talking about here. You'll understand this. And so that's what consciousness does. You see, consciousness gets lost inside of itself. God gets so sucked into the illusion. The illusion becomes indistinguishable from reality, because there really is no distinction, that God gets so sucked into it that it ends up being where you are right now, sitting there right now, feeling like you're inside of your little bubble, you're living your life, being you, and that's what's real, right? See, you're completely hypnotized by that illusion, by that hallucination. You don't even know how to break out of it, right? Just like with a good, juicy movie. You're totally absorbed in the movie to the point where when something happens on screen, even though it's fake, your heart starts pounding if you're watching a horror movie. There's like a jump scare or something, and you're freaked out, and it feels very real. And you get lost in it for a few hours. You see, well, this is what God is doing on steroids with all of reality. God is getting lost in itself. So there's a sort of a two-way street. You can either get lost and absorb deeper and deeper into reality, which is what something like movies do, porn does, video games do, virtual reality does, marriage and children and a career. All of this is you getting absorbed more and more and more into this fantasy, into this hallucination, and confusing it with reality. And there's the opposite direction. You can go back up the opposite direction, which is raising your consciousness and getting deabsorbed, waking up, in other words. And this is where spirituality comes in. It's a process of stopping playing within the hallucination and actually trying to climb out of the hallucination. And God will do both. God will get fully lost in the hallucination and suffer deeply and enormously. You know, there are people in the world right now who are suffering through terrible addictions, terrible depression, people who will shoot themselves tomorrow, people who will go commit violence, people who will become terrorists, people who will get lost in business for 40 years, people who would devote their entire lives to all sorts of causes and purposes that are ridiculous and harmful and pathological. And all that really is just people getting so absorbed in the hallucination. And some of those people are so far gone that there's no way that they can wake up without death, physical death. That's the only thing that will wake them up. And then there are others like you, perhaps, who have already started the waking up process by doing some meditation, some yoga, and this sorts of stuff. But you still have a long ways to go. But lest you get depressed, remember, though, that this is still only half the story. Remember, you, as God, will also experience all the positivity, all the joy, all the pleasure, and all the beauty of life. You will experience every first kiss, every hot man and hot woman, every intimate moment, every orgasm, every delicious meal, every smile on a child's face, every birthday cake that was ever eaten, every Xmas gift that was ever given, every amusement park, every sunset and sunrise, every act of kindness, every act of courage, every act of love, every sentimental moment, every victory and triumph, every success, every stroke of good luck, every jackpot in Vegas, every joke, every laugh, every masterpiece of art, every vacation, every honeymoon, every beautiful person, every mystical experience, every ecstatic vision, the birth of every cute baby boy and baby girl that was ever born. You will experience the highs of every single drug that mankind will ever invent, from heroin to cocaine to meth to opium and anything else in the future. You will experience the peak of 5-MeO-DMT. Joy and pleasure and love beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. All of that you will experience. Because that too is you. That too is everything. One of the most difficult things to explain to a child is that life is both immensely brutal and immensely beautiful, both at the same time. Try to imagine explaining this to a newborn child who has so little experience with life. Try to imagine explaining all the horrors of life, all the evils, and also all the joys and all the beauty of it. How do you explain that to a conscious being? You can't. It's too much. It's unbelievable. It's unimaginable. It's impossible. The only way it can be known is by living through it. Which is precisely why that child was born, is to live through it and to discover this brutality and this beauty. Through direct experience. Not as a story that was told to you, but through direct experience. By suffering through it. By working through it. By going through all the trials and tribulations of life. Think of how much emotional maturity is required to handle everything that I've been talking about above. Think of how much you have to grow and develop yourself just to be able to entertain these ideas, let alone to actually embody them and to open yourself up to the full spectrum of what you are. Think of how much bigger of a man or a woman you'd have to be able to live this way. Think of how difficult it is. If it sounds outrageous and ridiculous, it's precisely because it sounds so difficult and so impossible and so beyond how your friends and family live life. And that's precisely the case. Because mankind is in the dark ages. And our culture doesn't talk about this. Because this requires enormous evolution, enormous development, enormous maturity. Maybe in a few thousand years, this will be talked about in mainstream culture. Because we would have to have evolved our way to that point. You know, it's taken us thousands of years just to evolve to the point where I can shoot a video about this topic and not get burned at the stake. You know, a couple hundred years ago would not have been possible. Even in certain countries today, Saudi Arabia, for example, you can't release a video like this in Saudi Arabia. See? So it's not an accident that this stuff isn't talked about on your mainstream news or on your Facebook feed or by your friends or your family. Don't expect confirmation from your culture. Don't even expect some spiritual guru to explain all of this in all the detail, because this is so much. It's way too much. No enlightened master is going to tell you this, because it's just going to freak you out. It's just going to drive your ego nuts. This is something you have to face all by yourself. You have to realize this. No one can tell you this. This is not something you can turn into a belief. You need to, rather than building this cushy nest that you're building for yourself, you need to open yourself up more to the full spectrum of experiences of life. And that's really difficult to do. It's so much more tempting to construct this little nest of yours by chasing money and sex and fame and all of this than you can construct this nest. But then you close yourself off from true love and true compassion. The only way you develop true compassion is by taking on the suffering of the world as your own. And that is one of the core pillars of spirituality. You don't do it because you're a masochist. You do it because you want the truth. You want to experience the fullness, the infinity of what you are. And also because this strategy of creating a cushy life for yourself, this, even if you're good at it for a while, it never holds up forever. Even the most successful people will still experience the brutality of life in one fashion or another. In fact, this is a common reason why many successful people, musicians and artists and celebrities, end up committing suicide or getting addicted to various kinds of substances or spiraling out of control in their life, is because they're building this cushy lifestyle for themselves, but then the brutality still comes through. You can't hide from the truth forever. Eventually, you're going to have to face the death of your loved ones, face the death of your spouse, face the death of your children, face the various diseases and the inequality in the world and horror and car accidents and plane crashes and political fascism and violence and evil everywhere. Like, you're going to have to face this. You can't isolate yourself from this. This is a part of reality, a part of who you are. You can't just sit on some lofty perch that you've built for yourself and then sit and cast judgment on all this stuff as being bad and evil. That's going to come back to bite you, because one day you'll have to realize that actually you are too a part of that. And that requires a lot of emotional maturity to accept that and to still be able to love yourself. No matter how rich you get, how famous you get, you're going to have to deal with old age, with your looks deteriorating. You're going to have to deal with money problems. You're going to have to, even if you're super successful at all this, you're still going to have to spend every single waking day of your life worrying about maintaining your success, maintaining your money, maintaining your youthful appearance and your looks. And through all of that, you will be suffering and you will be scared. And so what spirituality is about facing your deepest fears, your fears of death. Facing that head on and surrendering into it rather than running away from it. And being able to love yourself and the whole world unconditionally. And from that, you get true happiness and joy. And that's why there is no magic pill for happiness. And there is no way to buy it. And there is no way to hoard it or to acquire it or to sell it. Because happiness is just acceptance of your entire ultimate true nature. And the surrendering of all your lying and your fear and your smoke screens and all of your bullshit. Surrendering all of that. Surrendering your ego. And nobody can do that for you. This is God's work. You must do this yourself. If you don't do this, nobody else will do it for you. Because what you're doing there is you're actually abdicating. You're literally abdicating your work as God. And if you turn any of this into a belief, again, you're abdicating your work as God. This needs to be experienced by you at a cellular level, not an intellectual philosophical level. Now, if you're worried or fearful about any of this that I said, watch out, because what is that? That's the ego. That part in you which is afraid of any of the things I listed up above, that's precisely the part of you that needs spiritual purification. That's the part of you that needs to be surrendered. Because you see, you've created an identity out of a very particular and limited set of things. Like you think you're tall, you think you're beautiful, you think you're ugly, you think you're attractive or not attractive, you think you're successful or not successful, you think you're intelligent or not intelligent, all of these things you identified with. You think you're a man, a woman, black or white, or all of that. Whatever religion you think you're part of, a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, blah, 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 all of that, right? You've created an identity out of that, a skeptic, a scientific person. That's a very narrow identity. And what's happening is I'm telling you all this nasty stuff, as it might seem. Yeah, it seems nasty from your limited identity because it goes against your identity. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to scramble that identity so that you spill out into the world. So, yeah, that's your work. That's the hardest thing to do in this work, is to surrender more and more of that and to accept more and more of everything selflessly. That's why this work is so difficult. That's why almost nobody wants to do it. That's why everybody makes all sorts of excuses for it. That's why people spend so much time mentally masturbating about this work and not actually doing the work. Is to protect their identity from crumbling, because that's what death literally is. It's the crumbling of your identity. That is death. So, yeah, don't be surprised if this scares the shit out of you, but also remember that you can tap into your heart, you can tap into the highest wisdom and intuitions within you, and you can use that to power through your fear, to power through your egotism. This will be a battle. Your ego is not going to go easily into the night. It's going to struggle all the way. And you're going to have to tap into the highest, most godly parts of yourself, your deepest love and compassion. And you're going to have to apply that to yourself. And you're going to have to work with yourself every single day for many, many years to overcome and to soothe your ego and to negotiate with it until eventually you get to the point where you are man enough or woman enough to surrender to it, to surrender to infinity, to surrender your ego and not need it anymore. To not feel like you need it to defend yourself. Because now you become so open that there is no more need. You don't even care if you die anymore. You have no more need for any kind of defenses. No more need for lying. No more need for bullshit. No more need to protect your possessions or anything else. Because that's how deep your connection to reality becomes. You transcend the human and you now start to identify with the cosmos as a whole, with the entire universe. You know, the entire universe doesn't need possessions, doesn't need money, doesn't need sex. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you'll never pursue these things or ever have these things. You can still have a house, you can still have clothing and a car and all this, but you're just not attached to it, is the point. So I'm not telling you all of this so that you start to fantasize and worry. I'm telling you this so that you start to appreciate just how difficult the truth is. The truth is an acquired taste, and it's a difficult, challenging thing. The whole purpose of why you were born was to work and work and work and work to accept the truth. And you were given many years. You know, as a human being, you have many years. You have like 80 years to live if you live prudently, because that's how long you need to fully surrender to the truth. It can take a lot of years. And you've probably already wasted a third of your life running away from the truth. So, be glad that you're human and you have many years left to live. I'm also telling you this to humble you. Because notice, people who resist what I'm saying here, fundamentally what that is that's arrogance. That's their arrogance. I'm also telling you this for when you're tripping on psychedelics. Contemplate the things that I've said here when you're tripping on psychedelics. And maybe you'll get a direct insight into the things I'm saying here. Now, the action steps from this episode is, whether you do psychedelics or not, anyways, contemplate this. Contemplate what I've said here. Take it seriously. Let it humble you. Let it scare you a little bit. That's good, but don't get too caught up in your fear. Because ultimately what you got to do next as an action step is you got to surrender to it. Rather than resisting it and coming up with excuses and trying to argue with me, surrender to it. continue tripping, continue meditating, continue self-inquiring, continue doing your yoga. That's going to be moving you towards this realization. And then one day, hopefully, it'll hit you. Everything I'm saying here will hit you. It'll all come together. And that will be one of the most epic days of your life when you realize this for yourself and you're not just hearing it as words from me. All right. I hope that wasn't too scary for you. After all, this is Halloween. But I'm done here. Go ahead and click that like button for me, please. Come check out actualize.org. That's my website. You'll find my blog. You'll find the forum. You'll find the Life Purpose course. You'll find the book list. And the final thing that I'll say is that this thing that we call non-duality, be careful underestimating it. It's much more serious than you ever thought, and it's different than what you thought it was. Yes, you do need to read the books and learn about non-duality. You need to learn about the theory. All that's important. But then, no matter how much of the theory you learn, you have to always remember that the actuality of it is nothing like what you imagine, nothing like what you got from the books. That's what makes it so difficult. There are many radical implications to non-duality, which are quite horrifying and scary from the perspective of the ego. So keep that in mind. And in the future, I will be talking more about various ramifications of non-duality. This is by no means the only ramification. This is actually just one ramification. There are others. And they can be quite jarring when you learn about them, especially when you're not prepared. So at least now, having watched this, maybe when you do have this insight for yourself, at least, I mean, it'll still shock you. Still shock you. Nothing can really prepare you for the shock, but at least you'll be like, well, at least I'm not going insane, because, you know, at least Leo talked about this. And so, I guess it's just part of the path. I guess I just got to work with it. Got to learn to accept it. And stick around for more, as we'll talk about more ramifications and how to deal with it. You know, a big challenge of this whole work is just keeping your own spirits high as you're doing this, because it can be difficult, right? You can be facing depression and sadness and all of this. You can get nihilistic. Like, all of this will happen to you on this spiritual journey. And the whole thing is that you got to keep chipping away at it and not quit. All too often, I hear people who meditate or do some yoga, and then they finally start to get some spiritual, mystical experiences, and they start to finally get their results, but then they're scared by those results. And they say, oh, that was so scary, and my heart jumped, and all of this, and oh my God, something weird happened to me, and now I stopped meditating, or I stopped doing yoga, or I stopped doing psychedelics. Well, I'm trying to prepare you for that so that you don't stop, so that you keep going. Now, of course, you do want to be careful. You don't want to push yourself so much that you get to some sort of breaking point where, you know, it's physically dangerous for you, or you feel like you're losing your mind completely. But, you know, sometimes it does feel like you're losing your mind. Sometimes it does kind of feel dangerous, because spirituality is serious business. It's done by serious people. It's done by hardcore people. This is not airy-fairy, fluffy stuff that you see on Oprah. This is serious shit. Your very life is on the line here. But then again, the rewards are also very serious. So if you want serious rewards for this work, if you want a serious transformation in your attitude towards reality, you want something different than what the ordinary person has, well, you got to expect that that's going to come through some serious work and through some serious trials and tribulations. And so I hope that one of the things that I can offer you with my content is some sort of like emotional support, keep you motivated, and just keep you, keep your expectations in line, right? It's because when your expectations get out of line, you expect something sugary and you get something a little bit bigger, bitter, sweet, then, you might be tempted to quit. So stick around, and I'll see you in the next one.